Very often, ladies and gentlemen. This is the third time of asking, as Graham says, and I've been trying to take a long look back into the history of art in general, and song in particular, and my conclusions were these. In the beginning was Italy, and then there was Shakespeare. Now we come to Hugo Wolf's Italian songbook. It was written half in 1891 and half in 1896. And I believe this work to be Shakespearean in its quality. The great Wolf scholar Frank Walker said of these songs, they cannot fail or lose their significance while civilized humanity endures. Not sure how long that'll be. But in Italy, we have to look on the bright side. Okay, and the latest news flashes from the Western history look quite encouraging to me. So, back to a time when Dante, Petrarch, and the rest were writing lyrics of courtly love. That great new poetry passed into the possession, mysteriously, of the Italian people. And they used it as the source of their inspiration for their own songs and verses. By the 19th century, visitors to Italy could hear the sonnet style turned into folk song. No one seems to know quite how that happened. I can't trace any comparable European tradition. I once made a modest experiment myself. I once, one early morning, went up into the hills overlooking Jerusalem. And there I heard an Arab shepherd playing his pipes to his flock. And as I got nearer, I heard what he was playing, and it was, I swear, the Ode to Joy from the finale of Beethoven 9. I suppose he heard it on the radio. But in Italy, I'm told, things are very different. Otherwise, illiterate peasants recite cantos of Dante at heart. I had confirmed that a bit from my own experience. I once stayed in a hotel in Rome, which had a lift boy who quoted Dante. Paradiso on the upper floor, Inferno on the ground within the basement. And in that hot summer, it was very appropriate. Italy has a living tradition of courtly love. It has a lot of love, clearly, but it has had a great many courts. I think this explains it, including a kingdom in Naples, they tell me. Nothing like that ever happened in England, but suppose it had. Let's imagine Shakespeare's sonnets of courtly love have been learned and cherished in the English countryside. Then a folk song collector of the 19th century might have heard a young man singing a simplified version of, let's say, Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day? Shortened from 14 lines, which are quite complex, to 6 or 8. I imagine the last 4 lines are sounding something like this. No sunlight is as lovely as your eyes that shine like summertime in paradise. Your eyes are lovelier than summer weather, and in this song they're sure to shine forever. Now, that's the style of the Tuscan rispetto, or respect, so called because it recalls the courtliness and dignity of ordinary people. You'll have noticed that the example I've given isn't very good poetry. One rhyme doesn't rhyme, the sentiments are exaggerated, but our rural versifiers do not care about that. They observe some simple rules and patterns. In my example, as so often in the Italian songbook, as if in a country dance, simple ideas change places within the line. Sunlight is like your eyes in the first line, your eyes are like sunlight in the third line. These features are characteristic of the rispetto. It was born not far from here. Hasn't got very much further, actually, at least in histories of literature, but I've ever seen. Very few poetry lovers, very few scholars have ever heard of it. Many quite respectable dictionaries do not include the word rispetto as a form of verse. But all lovers of popular art in any form will delight in these verses.